Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Fitness Forum. I am Michael Lewis, your host for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in again this evening. We really have an awesome show tonight for you. My forum, of course, is open to call-ins and online chats. For those of you that are interested in getting your voices heard about fitness topics, we're going to probably take calls or chats if we have any during the last 5 minutes or so of the broadcast. So certainly please feel free to call in if you have any questions or comments for either me or my guest. Our call-in number is 917-889-8037. Again, it's 917-889-8037. My show tonight is about female bodybuilding. My guest tonight is Megan Grudzinski. Megan is not only a competitive bodybuilder, but also an avid runner and fitness enthusiast as well. Female bodybuilding really is an awesome and very interesting topic that sometimes really gets overshadowed or isn't really publicized as their male counterparts as far as in the news or in the media. So I'm really excited to talk with Megan, who has some competitions under her belt. I really can't wait to get started and talk about this really interesting topic. The history of female bodybuilding really can be found back in through ancient Greece, and certainly has never been for the weak-hearted, just as it is today. Athletes who compete certainly have to have enormous amounts of discipline and staying power to be able to stay on task and to get their bodies, in such an elite form. Certainly, the physical ability, I think, to be able to train 5, 6, 7 days per week can be daunting as well. Preparation for bodybuilding show really takes months, if not up to about 12 months, of hardcore training, dieting, and exercise. Certainly a journey most people will never consider. Both men and women need to apply the same general principles: heavy lifting, proper diet, certainly enough rest to ensure overtraining doesn't set in, and of course a lot of cardio to supplement their program. So I really want to break down with Megan, some of the her past experiences and some of her training regimens as well. And I think, I'm sure Megan can attest to this as well, the training plans are really crucial, and I know she'll go into a little bit greater detail. Really want to get started. I want to introduce Megan. How are you doing this evening? Thanks for joining us here on the Fitness Forum.
Hi. I'm doing well.
How are you?
Good.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show tonight. And as I introduced you, you have quite an impressive background regarding fitness, not only a bodybuilder, but a weightlifter and a runner as well. So, and also, I guess I should mention, too, that you're a part of our Ultimate Fitness family, so we appreciate your service and dedication to helping those that come to the gym on a daily basis as well.
Thank you.
Are you able? Sure. Can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about, I guess, who you are then and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, my name is Megan Grudzinski. Like you said, I work at Ultimate Fitness. I was probably working out there for a year before I started working there. I'm also taking personal training classes. I am a Afghanistan veteran with over 10 years of service in the Army. And then I also have a bachelor's degree in psychology with a minor in biology from Cleveland State.
Fantastic, and thank you again for your service as well. Who are some of the key players, I guess, or some of the people that have helped you to achieve some of your physical fitness success, or some of your role models, and how did you get into being competitive, a competitive athlete?
Well, I've always been really interested in running, especially when I joined the military. I really got into fitness, and then once I went to Afghanistan, I started to, mentally it's just really tough. So I was trying to find things to kind of give me a goal to focus on. And so actually when I was in Afghanistan is when I decided to train for my first bikini competition. So that's bikini was fairly new. It was about three years ago. So it's gained a lot of popularity because there is for bodybuilding, there's for women, the divisions are bikini. Then you get a little more, the higher they go, the more muscular you're going to get. So you get bikini, figure, physique, and then bodybuilding. And then for men, they have physique and bodybuilding. So I looked into that, and then I started preparing while I was in Afghanistan for my first show. And then I have a coach now, Diane Rini. And I think it's really important to find a coach, even if you are very physically fit or you train other people, because you really need someone to listen to you and push you harder than maybe you'll push yourself at times. And definitely sure. Everyone at Ultimate Fitness has definitely been big supporters and helped me get more involved in the fitness industry and the personal training industry.
Good. Well, fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about just that, I guess, kind of your personal coach? You know, now does she make up different various plans for dieting as well as the workouts, or how does something like that work?
It gives me kind of an idea of what I should my diet should consist of, and it'll kind of give me ideas of what kind of foods I should be having, and then my workouts probably change about once a month. So I meet with her when off season, about once a month, meet with her, get new workouts. And then, you know, the closer you get to show, the more cardio you're going to be doing. It's going to change a little. Like right now I'm lifting fairly heavy. The closer you are to show, you still might be lifting heavy, but you might be doing more things like, where you're doing more fatigue of the muscles, where you're doing more drop sets and things like that. And it definitely, you know, the cardio is going to pick up. You know, a lot of people do a lot of HIIT, which is the high intensity training with, you know, intervals of high intensity and then a slower kind of run. And then just, you know, I think it's really important, like even in the off season, you can't just eat junk. So I think it's really helpful to have a coach year round so they can kind of keep you focused. Yeah, you're going to indulge now and then, but to kind of have someone to kind of keep you grounded as you get closer to show, they can say, hey, you know, we need to work on your quads a little more. You know, and you don't see that. You know, you might think, my gosh, I really need to work on your shoulder. My shoulders, they're, you know, they're not big enough. And they're like, no, they're good. We need to work on this. So it's good to have someone, an objective person that can look at you, you know, instead of yourself, where sometimes we put more stress on ourselves, you know, and see more faults than someone else might.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, we probably have our favorite exercises, our favorite points that we want to concentrate on. And it's good to have, I think, like you said, kind of that, a fresh set of eyes to really see that, hey, there's some separation or some proportion that you need to work on and different things like that, with the coach. So, okay, good. That's fantastic. And you mentioned just a minute ago about the differences, between fitness and the figure competition. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that for those who aren't real familiar?
So there's bikini is fairly new. There's bikini, and then you have figure, physique, and then bodybuilding. Bikini,
okay.
You're gonna come out in like a body wise. It's more of like a beach body. You know, you're definitely. I think when it first started, they weren't as muscular. Now, the big thing with bikini is you want to have nice glutes. They really look at, you know, when you're doing your back pose, they're looking at your glutes and your hamstrings. And then you also want to have, you know, a tiny, tiny waist. And that's why when you see bikini competitors, they kind of, when they do their front pose, they'll kind of angle themselves to make their shoulders look broader thereby making their waist kind of smaller. And you come out, you're wearing heels, you're wearing a two-piece bikini. Used to be, you can have off-the-rack ones, but people like to, you know, they're getting really bedazzled now.
Okay.
And then figure, you're coming out. It's a one-piece, but it's two pieces, but it connects in the back. And they're definitely looking at, I mean, the whole package. I mean, they are, too, with bikini, but you're definitely going to be, you can tell they're going to have more muscle. If I wanted to do figure, I would probably need about 10 more pounds of muscle. So you're definitely getting more muscular, more capped shoulders. Then you also have physique, which is just like a step down from bodybuilding. But they're larger, more muscular. Definitely you get some striations. They have a harder look to them, and but not quite as huge as bodybuilding, because I think physique's becoming more popular, because I think bodybuilding for women starting to fade away, that category, because it is really tough to maintain that much muscle. But physique is, sure, you know, you got a lot of muscle, but it's not quite as big as bodybuilding, so I think it makes it a little more mainstream. But they do a posing routine, so that's similar in that aspect. And they don't wear the heels, so it's a little different. And then obviously bodybuilding is the largest, you know, amount of muscle that you're going to have. And then for men, they just have two categories: you have physique and bodybuilding. Physique is I like to say it as it's almost like an Abercrombie model with a little more muscle. So they come out in board shorts. They kind of do a nice little model pose, you know, but they got the board shorts on, and it's kind of like that Abercrombie kind of catalog model look. Muscular still, but and then you have your bodybuilders, which are definitely, and that's divided. The physique is done by height for men, and then once you go to bodybuilding, that's done by weight. Same with females. Bikini, figure, and physique, I believe, are all done by height classes. So you're competing against girls your height, and then bodybuilding is in weight classes.
Okay. So is it fair to say a lot of competitive bodybuilders that get into competing, they start out with the figure or the bikini, the figure fit and stuff like that before they get into bodybuilding? Or do people stay, you know, competitors just stay in one category, or can you do cross categories? How does that work?
It depends. Certain shows you can. There's certain shows, depending on the show, they will let you cross over from, like, say you're on the fence. I know a couple girls that are doing a show soon, and they were on the fence. They're like, I don't know if I'm quite bikini. I don't know if I'm quite figure. You know, where do I fit in? So they're able to do both. A lot of shows I've seen, you can't. And I've also seen people progress. You know, I've seen people start out in figure and then, you know, start to get a little bigger and start here. And, you know, you're a little big for figure and then go into physique. Same with bikini. You know, if you have a harder look, you know, that's more of a figure thing. So I've definitely seen people start in one division and decide. I mean, it's not that one's a stepping stone to another, because you can be perfectly happy bikini, but you could be like, you know what, I kind of wanted to see what I would look like with a little more muscle. So it's definitely possible. I mean, it's definitely possible to start in physique, you know, but it would take a little bit of time to be able to gain the muscle mass you would need to really be competitive. So it's just really kind of your preference, but you know, I've seen either way.
Good. Yeah, I go to the competitions twice a year, and I enjoy the whole the experience. I know they're long days, especially for you as a competitor. I want to just touch on that just for a second. I guess I know Europe is different. Different parts of the world have different federations, and I'm familiar with, you know, strongman or powerlifting federations, but I'm also, I guess, kind of familiar a little bit here in the United States with our federations. the National Physique Committee, which the NPC, if I'm not mistaken, is probably,
yes.
I guess, the largest of the, is it the amateur association?
It's the amateur,
and then,
yes.
Okay, and then the IFBB, the International Federation of Bodybuilders, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Is it, that's the
pro.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between the two, I guess, if you can just tell us a little bit about that? And you competed in the NPC, right?
Yes, I've competed NPC and also at NGA, which is National Gym Association. And my next show in September is going to be, I believe, NMA. I might have switched those two around, but because the acronyms get me, but which is, I think, the Muscle Association. So that's the one I'm doing in September, which is the Mr. and Mrs. Cleveland. And I believe last year was at St. Ignatius. So and that's all, that's an amateur one too. So there's different amateur ones. NPC definitely is the most known. But to talk about the NPC and the IFBB, and then I can talk a little about how some of the amateur ones differ. But the NPC, in order to become pro, you would have to, depending on the show, place for most shows, I think, like if you were doing Lakewood or something, if you place in the top five, you could then go into, or top three. It just depends on the show. It usually will stay in the regulations. Top three will be able to go to nationals. Okay, so, or, you know, the top, four and five can go to junior nationals. So then you go to nationals. And then at nationals, they'll let you know ahead of time. It just depends. They might say the overall winner of each class or the top two will get the pro cards. So at nationals, when they'll decide, and they'll let you know, depending on, there's a couple national shows, and they'll have the rules there. So you have to win a local show or be like in the, you know, whatever the number is that they're going to give you, like top three are going to go, or the overall winner can go to nationals. Usually it's like top five in the, depending, but usually I've seen it been about top five in each division, or top three, you can go to nationals. And then you have to compete at a national level in order to get your pro card. And then some of the other smaller shows, like the Lakewood show does do drug testing. Not all of the NPC shows I've gone to have. Some of them do, some of them don't. They'll do urine testing. The Lakewood show does. And then another show, like I did the NGA one, they actually require you, and NMA does too, they require you to take a polygraph. So everyone takes one. Like the NPC... not everyone gets urine tested. It's based on the I think it's like the top three get tested and then two randoms. So they do try to cover their bases, but these other organizations, they will require you, I had to take a polygraph, but it's not as scary as you think. but you do have to pay for it. I think it was like $45. The one I went to was just a voice analysis. Some of them I heard actually hook you up, but they just want to make sure you're not taking any banned substances.
Okay, good. So there's, now I was going to ask a little bit about that, you know, as far as the professionalism and being on the square, so to speak, as far as making sure, you know, there's nothing being used. That's a big part of, and a lot of controversy as well. So that's pretty interesting. I guess I didn't realize the involvement. So if somebody puts forth 6 weeks or 12 weeks or a year into being prepared, that's they're doing it the right way as opposed to cheating or taking something that is a banned substance. So, that's fantastic.
I really like the shows that do like the polygraphing because, every single person has to take the polygraph. And I think it's 7 years that you have to be clean from any of the banned substances. It's kind of like you feel like you're on a level playing field. So it's kind of nice to know that they're involved like that.
Right. Okay, good. And can you tell us a little bit about your competition experiences and how, just I guess getting stage ready. I mean, how did that feel? I mean, it's got to be a pretty because I know every time I go, there's thousands of people there that are spectators and plus everybody on stage with you as well. So can you tell us just run us through a little bit of your, competition, ready and preparedness? How does that play out for you before it's go time?
Well, right now, just to get kind of ready, this is the first. I haven't placed as high as I'd like to at shows. I'm hoping this show is going to be different because this is the first time where I've taken my off season very seriously. Before, I would just kind of be like, okay, 12 weeks out, 16 weeks out, I'll start getting ready. But this, I've really tried to put on more muscle mass, and that I think that's really important. And then definitely the closer you get to the show. You have to get a suit. You have to, there's people locally. There's a suit maker locally. You can also go online, do measurements, Instagram. You can find all sorts of different suit makers from all over. But you got to figure out what your budget's going to be. That's going to be important because suits can run anywhere from talking for figures even more, but bikinis anywhere from maybe $100, $150 to $500. Depending how bedazzled you want to, rhinestone-y you want to get. So you have to do that. And also, definitely practicing because you're wearing 4.5 to 5 inch heels. So I'm used to wearing gym shoes, and I'm not very graceful. So I'm definitely practice and practice and practice. Even though I'm already, months away from September, this is February. I still put the shoes on, still practice in the mirror, and my coach also does posing, so I'll work with her. But then closer I get to show, 3 or 4 months out, I'm gonna be posing every few days because you really want to see how your body looks and pose in front of people. Don't be embarrassed. Have some your boyfriend, your girlfriend, have them videotape you too, take pictures because that helps. And you want to get them a little, if you can have them like sit on the ground, because you're going to be standing on a stage, so the judges are going to be below you. So you kind of want to make sure you're looking your best from that angle. So it's a lot of practice. And you also have to realize that it's going to be expensive. And then the closer it gets to the show, I definitely recommend going with the spray tanner. They'll have someone there that's going to spray tan you. You can do your own tan. I don't mess with that. I don't want to. I would look like a blotchy, like crazy monster.
Yeah, I
So
was going to ask
I
you
get the
about
spray
the whole
tan.
canning process. Okay. Do you recommend the
Right. Do you want me to go
bronzing?
into that a
I've
little
seen
more or
people.
just?
Oh, no, just whatever your stage presentation. I mean, that's a lot of work. So we just have maybe a few more minutes. So I mean, we could talk for a day about this, but I just want to kind of give you a heads
Oh,
up and
I
maybe
know.
have
There's so many. There's so
another
many.
couple minutes.
Yeah, little tiny new. There's so many things to do, and I do recommend. If you do want to do your own makeup and things, there's so many little tips. You have to match your. Usually don't get your face tan, because the makeup can. If you put the makeup on, it can make it a little. It can make it green. There can be a reaction. You don't want to put stuff on top of the tan. So I recommend going to like MAC or Sephora, and they'll help you with samples. You can look online. Some people will recommend, what samples they've used. So that way you're not buying, but you want to be dark. You're going to be dark. And then also practicing your makeup, practicing how your hair looks. They like the almost like Victoria's Secret hair, bombshell kind of nice curls or straight. And just practice and get it's going to be nerve-wracking, but just realize that, you've put in a lot of work. And that you deserve to be up there. You've worked just as hard as the girls next to you, maybe even harder. So you just have to realize, and even if you don't place, it's okay. I time I did it, I was, disappointed. But then I realized that, the only competition really is yourself. And that's why this year it's like, okay, I know the parts of my body that I want to improve on, and that's what I'm really focusing on. And don't be afraid, especially females, to lift heavy because that's the only way you're going to see changes. You know, I don't have much glutes. that's my big thing and quads. And the only way you're going to do that is by squatting and, you know, lifting heavy and, you know, definitely having a coach who can show you how to do it the right way so you don't hurt yourself is important, or going to a trainer because you don't want to just start lifting heavy. You need to gradually do it and you need to work on your form first. But definitely, you know, you're not going to get bulky. I always hear people, I just want to be toned, you know, but it's like you want some muscle. You need to get muscle. That's how you're going to get toned. You're not going to look like a man. You know, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way biology works. So it's just important to you know, not get caught up in that and realize that, you know, the lifting heavy is done amazing. All the girls that are going to be on stage lift heavy. If you look up any bikini competitor, I guarantee she lifts heavy. So it's good. It's a good thing.
Definitely. Well, it's certainly crucial that you know, that you have to actually be ready for that stage presentation. I mean, everything that you've just said, you know, is just really amazing, I think, to all of us, that I think you have to keep accurate records of your training. You have to keep a journal. You have to keep in contact with your coach. And just even probably, like you said, the posing and the clinics, finding out about your suit and the routines. It's just, you know, it's a lot more involved than, you know, even the again, the drug testing and stuff like that, which is fantastic. I mean, I just think that there's so much that goes into this lifestyle, you know, and it is a lifestyle. It's something that you don't just turn on because you feel like getting on stage, you know, in a month. It's something that, you know, meal preparations and the heavy lifting, as you mentioned, it's just a lot of commitment and dedication, you know, on your part and, you know, all the competitors' part to, you know, to stay focused and to get on stage and to be that person, you know, in the arena. That's awesome. I really find that very intriguing. And I do compliment all your hard work and efforts because I know I see you every day in the gym and you do a great job, not only, again, working out, but the diet and really everything. You know, I think that we got like about 30 seconds. Can you just, you know, tell the listeners anything as far as, you know, staying, how to stay fit overall or anything like that, as far as anything that you have to, you know, that you can let us know before we go?
I recommend, you know, I think a lot of times people try to do these fad diets cut out carbs. And I think you really need to remember that you need to fuel your body. And it's okay if you slip up. I see people, you know, on Facebook and Instagram, and they're like, I ate a piece of cake, now I need to go run 5 miles. No, you don't.
Right.
You fit it in. You can fit things into you can still be healthy and still enjoy, you know, going out once in a while. But you need to do things in moderation. You know, that's the big thing. Everything, I don't think there's any bad food. I just think everything has to be in moderation. So you don't have to deprive yourself, but just be conscious of, you know, what, you know, if you're going to go to a party, eat something beforehand. I bring food with me. I'm the weirdo with my own little, like, cooler bag.
That's part of the dedication.
But you do what you have to do, and it's okay. And if people look at you weird, first I used to think, like, oh, my gosh, I'm goofy. But now I'm like, I don't care, because I know that this is fueling my body and that I'm going to, you know, be able to complete my goal. So if that's what it takes, that's what, you know, it takes.
Awesome. Well, so I appreciate everything. We covered a lot of ground, and we'll talk to you very soon. Thank you so very much for being on my show tonight, Megan. Thank you.
No problem. You have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Awesome. You too. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was absolutely a fantastic interview. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Dave Lieberman. He is actually a former Mr. Ohio, and also he's appeared in many fitness publications, television appearances, and he actually runs the NPC in Lakewood. So we'll be talking with him next week on February the 26th at 6:30. Again, we appreciate Megan Grzynski being on the show tonight. Thanks for listening, and have a good evening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you.